Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, and every week at this time, we bring you inside the world of travel, from hotels and tours to cruise ships, planes, trains, and things you can eat on your trip. Please listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the show later on Facebook on blogtalkradio.com or on my website, danschlossberg.net. My special guest tonight in the 309th episode of Travel Itch Radio is Jennifer Breed, Marketing Director for the Las Vegas Monorail. Welcome, Jen, to Travel Itch Radio.
Hi, Dan. Thank you so much, and thank you for having me on this evening to talk all things monorail.
And that's great because you're psyching me up, because I will be in Las Vegas in about 3 weeks, so I'm looking forward to that. Jen, why is the Las Vegas Monorail the best way to get around the Strip?
Well, that's obviously a great place to start. So if I start and state it just as simple as possible, you know, the monorail, it's fast, it's convenient, it's affordable, and it provides accessibility. So what we do best is we deliver the Las Vegas Strip and everything that it has to offer to our riders. And it only takes 15 minutes to travel the length of our system on the monorail, so customers can get where they're going quickly and efficiently, and avoid all of the traffic and the congestion. And there's value in taking the monorail. So our tickets, they start at just $5 for a single ride, or $13 for an unlimited ride pass. So if you're looking at that, you know, comparing the cost of, let's say, taking a taxi or a shared ride, and that's your mode of transportation to get around, you're definitely going to save monorail. I mean, you're definitely going to save time and money if you're using the monorail.
Jen, you mentioned 15 minutes. Is that a round trip?
15 minutes is end-to-end. So we have basically a 3.9-mile long system. So it takes just 15 minutes to stop it if you stopped at all seven stops.
Okay, I was going to ask you, what stops does it make? So why don't we talk about that now? I know it goes to the Las Vegas Convention Center.
We do. So we have, again, so we're a 3.9-mile system. We run along the east side of the Strip. So we have seven stops with direct connection to eight resort properties. And I can list out our stops. So we start with MGM Grand. Then we have Bally's Paris, Flamingo, Harrah's The Link, the Las Vegas Convention Center, Westgate, and SLS. So when I said 15 minutes, if you went from MGM to SLS, it would take you 15 minutes.
And probably take you 2.5 hours by car, because I've seen the traffic in Las Vegas.
It could.
Not fun.
Traffic can get really nutty here.
Well, how many trains run at one time, and how many cars do they have?
So we have a total in our fleet of 9 trains, and then each train has 4 cars each. The number of trains that we have running at any given time on our tracks really depends on scheduling and traffic flow. So let's say during peak hours of a citywide convention, like a consumer electronics show, we're going to be running all 9 trains. But let's say it's a Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. when we've just opened the system and there's really nothing going on in Vegas, we're maybe running 4 or 5. So it really just depends on, again, what's going on and what we've scheduled, and then we can take in and pull out trains as necessary depending on what that traffic flow looks like. But regardless, we have trains that arrive at each of our 7 stations approximately every 4 to 8 minutes.
That's really good. What is the top speed of the monorail?
So top speed actually reaches up to 50 miles per hour.
That sounds like it's pretty fast for a system like that.
It does go.
Does it ever actually go that fast?
Does
it ever hit 50 or no?
It does. Okay. And there's, but it doesn't, like, you're not sitting there going 50 miles an hour at every station, because some of the stations, let's say, it might only be a 30-second or 1-minute ride from station to station. So it doesn't even actually get up to full speed at that point.
Right. And I remember the system being rather curvy, yes?
It does have some good curves to it, yes.
Okay. And I hear that the Las Vegas monorail is eco-friendly. Could you please explain why?
I would love to explain that one. So we operate, first of all, our trains are zero emissions. And we provide congestion relief and improve mobility throughout the resort corridor. So, and how we do that is by removing approximately 2.2 million vehicle miles from Southern Nevada roadways each year. So what that means is when we're reducing all of those vehicle miles, we're also reducing the emissions that are released into the air. The stat on that is we reduce emissions in the air by 28 tons over the course of every year. So to really break that down and put that in perspective so that it means something or it makes sense, the monorail carries, let's say, on average, 67,000 passengers during a citywide trade show. So during like a CES or a SEMA or an NAB. So that amount of passengers would be equivalent to removing over 22,000 taxi cabs that each have 3 passengers in it, or over 1,200 passenger buses carrying 55 riders each. So if that gives you a perspective of how we're improving that mobility, but reducing all of that vehicular traffic, that's what's providing the environmental benefits to our community.
That's a great explanation. We're talking with Jennifer Breed, marketing manager for Las Vegas Monorail. Jen, with so many big conventions in Las Vegas, can groups charter the monorail too?
They can. So we're able to customize and really create unique and exciting transportation experiences for our groups. And we'll collaborate and put together concepts with event organizers basically on a case-by-case basis. We have done private transfers. We've planned silent discos, immersive party train experiences, even progressive parties that include where, you know, you get off at each station and there's a different theme or a different event going on at each station. But where it gets even more creative on that side or on the planning side is that we have to, while we're having all that fun and providing those group charters or group experiences, we still have to maintain regular operation and provide that service to the rest of our customer makeup that wants to utilize the system. So our first priority is always to deliver, you know, convenient, consistent, and safe service to anyone who's wanting to use the system. But we really, really love to work with individual groups and get creative and see what we can do to create some sort of fun transportation experience.
By the way, I love the idea of a silent disco. You'll have to explain that one to us.
Okay, so we've had a few of these. So we work with some partners that basically promote or produce silent discos. And what a silent disco is, and what it, I guess it is on the monorail, is we'll have usually we'll have one or two trains in the system that are dedicated to that silent disco, and each train will have a different DJ, and then participants of the silent disco will, you know, they rent these special headphones that they're wireless, and so they're wearing these headphones, and they basically communicate with whatever the DJ is playing. So if you're a regular rider and you're not participating in the silent disco and you're not wearing the headphones, it's kind of funny to see, because you have no idea why all these people are like dancing and, you know, rocking out to music because it's all silent. So it's really funny. But we found, you know, so like I said, we maintain that regular operation. And so we're still letting our regular customers who aren't, you know, participating in the silent disco to get on and off the train. And they get really curious and then they want to participate in it. So they're like, how can I get these headphones? Now I want to play too. So the silent discos are really fun.
That sounds like a great idea. Also, I have to ask you, does the monorail run 24 hours a day, every day of the year?
So we are open 365 days a year, but not 24 hours a day. So we open daily at 7 a.m. And on Mondays, we close at midnight. And then during the rest of the weekdays, we close at 2 a.m. And then on weekends, we close at 3 a.m. New Year's Eve, however, that's the one night that we do stay open for 24 hours.
And that's when you really need not to drive your car on New Year's Eve.
Exactly.
How many passengers would you say use the Las Vegas monorail every year, Jen?
Oh, every year. So on an annual basis, we carry up to or over 5 million passengers a year. So of those riders, 80% of those are leisure or travelers. And then 20% of those visitors are here for business. So it's kind of interesting with the monorail because we're unlike most public transportation systems, we don't have that traditional commuter base. So our entire customer base turns over on an average every 3 days.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Well, this year,
yeah,
you welcomed your 80 millionth passenger. How did you determine who that was, and what did you do to mark the occasion?
Okay, so 80 millionth was really exciting, and that was a fun one to plan. And we, of course, get very excited about ridership milestones. Determining who that rider was, so we track all of our passengers, and we know the volume of the passengers at every station, broken down by day of the week, hour, even the minute. So our team used that data to basically determine, we look at it, we're like, okay, we anticipate we're going to hit this 80 millionth rider on this day. So that data, we watched it very closely in the days leading up, and then we made tweaks here and there, and then we had staff at all of our stations the day of to do head counts. And, you know, it's a lot of work, and we call it a labor of love because we really enjoy the interaction with our milestone riders. And so on how we celebrated this particular occasion is, you know, like none other, we had to do it in Vegas style. So we had Elvis there to present a giant oversized monorail ticket. And we had, you know, confetti cannons going off, and then we presented her with over $3,000 worth of certificates for Vegas experiences, you know, attractions, hotel stays, tours, helicopter flight to the Grand Canyon, things like that, that were given from our fellow resort partners. So it was really an exciting, exciting time.
That's terrific. I understand that Las Vegas Monorail is completely privately funded. Is it true operating funds come from farebox collections and advertising revenue, and anybody who looks at the monorail can see large ads painted on each train?
So, yeah, you are correct. Our entire system is funded through fares and advertising, and it is a really unique model to not receive any subsidies from any public sources, but we still deliver 5 million customers a year throughout the resort corridor, and we improve air quality, and we increase mobility for our community. So, but in doing all that, we are what's called a private, nonprofit public transportation system. And it's a mouthful to say, and it's very unique. Transit systems, they not only receive federal funding for equipment, but often a local ongoing operation subsidy in addition. And the monorail runs completely independent, and we earn enough money in our ticket sales and with advertising revenue to cover our operational expenses and our debt service. And then anything that we make over and above covers all of the system enhancements that we make. As far as the large, you said large painted ads, which is interesting. So those are actually vinyl train wraps, and we do sell those. That's one portion of advertising that we sell, but we have many, many opportunities for brand awareness for our advertisers that we sell. So it could be, you know, from the interiors of our train cars, where we have people that wrap the interiors and do a complete brand takeover. We have a lot of signage opportunities, again, in our trains, at our stations, on our platforms, in addition to those train wraps. But so there's many, many ways that people can promote their brand on the monorail.
Okay, we're talking with Jennifer Breed, Marketing Manager for Las Vegas Monorail. Jen, New Year's Eve is always a big deal in Las Vegas, as you mentioned a couple of minutes ago. How is the monorail involved?
Well, New Year's Eve is one of only 2 days out of the entire year that the Las Vegas Boulevard is shut down completely to vehicular and pedestrian traffic. The other day that happens is during the Las Vegas Rock and Roll Marathon, which just happened last weekend. The monorail is a really, really important factor during that because it's not only the most convenient way to get around, it's the only way to get around. And so we definitely look forward to that night every year. Again, I mentioned earlier, we stay open all night long and then we continue into our service for the next day. So we don't close for a good 48 hours to make sure that we service all of those partygoers. And then, you know, we also definitely encourage safety on that night, of course. So we want everybody to party it up, but let us do the driving. So that's how we participate.
And the strip is 4 miles long, and the monorail covers what, 3.9 miles out of that four?
Yeah, all 3.9 miles. So we're only missing 0.1 miles.
That is great. Well, Jen, is it possible to build a complete Las Vegas itinerary around the monorail?
Absolutely. So there are literally hundreds of different configurations that could be created to build a Las Vegas itinerary around the monorail. Because what we do best is we deliver, like I mentioned, the Las Vegas Strip and all of its offerings to our customers. And we're not the reason that people visit Las Vegas, but what we really do best is that we connect our riders to everything that Las Vegas has to offer. So whether it's dining, entertainment, gaming, nightlife, you know, shows, we're the ones that can connect those riders to all those things that they have planned. So you could literally take a 7-day itinerary and map it out and take all of those elements, take shopping, take where you want to go shopping, where you want to eat, what shows you want to see, what attractions you want to experience, and look at the monorail and piece it together and use the monorail as your access point to get to all of those things quickly and conveniently. So there's hundreds of ways that you could put together an itinerary.
And that would save hundreds of dollars probably over a rental car, not to mention all the aggravation.
Absolutely. So it would save you, you know, hassles of trying to drive, hassles of trying to park, the cost of paying for parking. Yes. And then, of course, you're going to still get to where you're going much more quickly on the monorail.
And Jen, how many hotel rooms would you say have proximity to Las Vegas Monorail?
Well, we're directly connected to 8 resort properties, which equates to over 26,000 hotel rooms. That also includes over 4.5 million square feet of meeting and event space. But really an interesting fact is that only 55% of our riders are staying at those connected rooms. The rest of our riders are staying at some of the other hotel rooms, which make up for, let's say, another 70,000 hotel rooms in the Strip corridor. And then they're using the monorail again as that kind of starting point or access point to get to all of their other planned activities.
Okay, I want to tell our listeners, you're listening to Travel Itch Radio with Dan Schlossberg. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travel Itch Radio on Facebook. We're also on iTunes. And we're talking with Jennifer Breed, Marketing Manager for Las Vegas Monorail. Jen, there are several other trams on the Las Vegas Strip. Are they related to Las Vegas Monorail? And would you mind mentioning what they are? I know there's one that links Luxor with Mandalay Bay and Excalibur.
Yes, absolutely. There are other tram systems, and those are individually owned by hotel properties that they connect to, and they are independent of the monorail, so they're not part of the monorail. I know that one of them connects Mandalay Bay, Luxor, and Excalibur, as you mentioned, And the other one is the ARIA Express Tram, and that one links the properties over at ARIA, Bellagio, Vidara, Cosmopolitan, Park MGM, and then also the shops at City Center. And in both of those systems, they run on a completely different type of technology it's different to the monorail. So they use what's called, here's a fun fact, it's called a Doppelmayr pulley system. So it's basically like a cable pulling system, where our monorail system is, it's an electronics. It's run on electricity. But they're also great ways of, you know, getting around. And in our tourism corridor, you know, convenient accessibility and options are certainly important. So happy to talk about those.
Is monorail ridership heavier after dark because of people going to shows?
Well, you know, monorail ridership really varies. It depends on what's happening in Las Vegas. You know, we certainly see an uptick during the evening hours as our visitors head out to their evening activities or shows. But, you know, ridership, if you think about it, we can also, in the dead of summer, when it's, let's say, 116 degrees out, have a crazy high peak ridership day because people want to be in the air-conditioned comfort. So it really just depends on what's happening in Las Vegas at the time. But for sure, those evenings and weekends are going to be our heavier traffic time on the monorail.
I'm glad you referred to weather, Jen, because you obviously mentioned air conditioning for summer. When you have it go down to 41 degrees or something like that occasionally, do you have heat also?
We sure do. So it's completely climate controlled. So definitely beats being out in the elements for sure.
And what about the peak and bargain times for Las Vegas monorail? Does it matter or does the price not change?
The price doesn't change depending on time of day or day of the week. As far as bargains go, you know, we do offer an array of promotional discounts surrounding special events and holidays. I mentioned earlier that our entire customer base changes over every 3 days. So I have the opportunity that's unique in that I market our transportation system like an attraction. And so I tailor our messaging to tourists. So we found that what works really well for us is when we tie in other attraction and events into our messaging. So, for example, when we know that the Rock and Roll Marathon is coming into town, we'll partner with them and we will pull their messaging into our messaging to say, hey, this is the best way to get around during the marathon activities, save your legs for the race. And then we offer exclusive discounts to those, you know, those customers that are coming in during that week. So those are the kind of discounts and things that we will promote during particular times of the year. So we do special promotional discounts, but as far as peak times to ride, like the pricing doesn't fluctuate. It's always the same.
How about discounts for veterans, seniors, or students?
You know, the only discount that we offer on a regular ongoing basis, so daily, is our locals discount. And we do have a locals program. How that works is our locals can present a valid Nevada ID. They come to our customer service desks for that. And then they can buy up to 2 1 ride tickets at $1 per day. And then we also have a 20 ride ticket that they can purchase for $20. Other than that, as I mentioned, you know, we offer targeted or customized discounts during special events. We offer them with our convention partners, and then also promote special discounts surrounding holidays throughout the year.
Okay. We're talking with Jennifer Breed, Marketing Manager for Las Vegas Monorail. Jen, with new sports venues opening in town, from the NHL's Golden Knights at the T-Mobile Arena to the NFL's Las Vegas Raiders in 2020, can visitors ride the monorail to the games?
Well, definitely. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about how, you know, a good portion of our riders aren't coming from a venue or an attraction or an event that's directly connected to the system. So we definitely still promote and encourage people that are attending sporting events like T-Mobile Arena, for example, like the Golden Knights. You know, we don't have a direct connection to T-Mobile Arena, but our riders can take the monorail from, let's say, all the way from SLS, take it for 15 minutes, get off at MGM, walk across the pedestrian bridge, and have easy access to T-Mobile Arena. So they absolutely can utilize the system to get to games. And as we, you know, look ahead with some expansion plans and things like that, we do expect to have better connectivity.
Jen, when and why was the Las Vegas monorail built? Was it influenced by Disneyland or any other systems?
So the monorail was built, and it was part of a joint venture between MGM Grand and Bally's, and that was in 1993. And the goal there was to link those two properties. And it was a one-mile system, and it started with retired Disneyland trains, actually. And then in 2000, the nonprofit Las Vegas Monorail Company was formed. And so that company, so who we are today, acquired the original monorail system and then expanded it to approximately the 4 miles that it is today, and then had custom brand new trains manufactured for that system. And it officially opened July 15th, 2004.
Okay, good to know. I always love to include history with our shows. Jen, when you travel to other places that have monorails, do you come up with ideas that might work for Las Vegas monorail?
I love public transportation. So whenever, and it sounds really kind of nerdy, but I love it. When I travel to other areas, I'm always taking public transportation, and I'm looking for ideas and concepts, certainly, that I could apply here. And one of the biggest things that I observe or look out for is signage and how people interact with, let's say, ticket vending machines, or how they purchase tickets and then how they use those tickets. Because, you know, we've talked about it quite a bit. You know, our entire customer makeup changes every 3 days. We don't have this typical local ridership or commuter base. And so that normally lends to people knowing exactly where to go and what to do, right? So if you're in New York City and you're taking, you know, the metro system there, everyone kind of knows where to put their ticket and how to use it and how to get in. But what I find, and one of my greatest challenges in marketing and communicating at our stations, is instructing people how to, you know, buy a ticket, you know, put it in the fare gate and enter the system. So I love to go out to other transit systems and kind of watch what people are doing and take pictures of signage and take pictures of those instructions to see if we can test them here and if it helps us communicate better with our riders.
Okay, really quickly, tell our listeners how they can learn more about Las Vegas Monorail.
They can definitely follow us on social media. Our hashtag is LV Monorail. So you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram at LV Monorail. And then also our website is lvmonorail.com.
Okay. Thanks to Jennifer Breed, Marketing Manager of Las Vegas Monorail, for being our guest tonight on the last episode of 2018. That's it for this edition of Travel with Radio. We're going on winter hiatus till Thursday, January 3rd, when we'll be back at the same time and same station. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, Happy New Year, Happy Thanksgiving, Happy Hanukkah, and Merry Christmas. See you on the air in 2019. Good night.